The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And joining us on the Trocare College Live Line, political analyst Steve Roberts. Steve, so much to get to, the fallout from last Tuesday and what to make of, well, everything going forward. And I'm wondering where your head is at. I wish we had an hour, to be honest. I wanted to start here, though. And there's a lot of, especially in Democrat circles, a lot of, you know, headbanging as to what exactly went wrong, you know, what needs to go different in the future. And I thought these two pieces I read in the New York Times were very interesting. This morning, they had a piece that quoted a Democrat that won re-election in a district that Trump won heavily on Tuesday as saying the fundamental mistake people make is condescension. And I immediately went back, Steve, to November 8th in the same Times Morning newsletter where this line stuck out with me so much. And it was, quote, "Why does inflation anger voters so much?" And I almost could feel the condescension in the question. I'm still riled up over it as if, like, why is the question being asked to begin with? Like, what ivory tower is that being asked from? I'm wondering if those two things maybe are ringing in your ears this morning.
Sure. And look, anybody who's been listening to us and Susan over the last year knows that I've been hammering this issue over and over again. That, from day one to day last, the two words that defined this election were gas and groceries. And any Democrat who didn't understand that was doomed to political failure. Inflation is always, always the most important political issue because it affects every single family in Buffalo every single day. You can talk about the border and feel deeply about it, but it doesn't affect your daily life. You can care about reproductive rights, but it doesn't affect your daily life. You can care about climate change or NATO or 100 other things. Inflation is there every day. You go to the grocery every day, you fill up your car. And in many ways, I think the Democratic Party was doomed from the beginning, because that issue overwhelmed everything. You look at the exit polls on the night of the election, and 45% of Americans who voted said that their own personal financial situation was worse than it was a year ago, and they voted 80-17 for Donald Trump. I think, there's just no doubt that, but it wasn't just economically. You're quite right in also pointing out the cultural dimensions of this. Paul Begala, who is a very shrewd Democratic analyst, once said that the center of gravity of the Democratic Party had moved from the factory floor to the faculty lounge. And I just think that's perfect in describing the liberal condescension, the elitism. And no issue summed that up more than the issue of allowing biological males to play female sports. From a position of wokeness and political correctness, sounds like a great idea. To everybody else in America, it sounds crazy. And the most powerful ad that the Republicans ran the entire campaign hammered on this issue. So I agree that there's a lot of condescension. There's a lot of blindness. I'll give you another source of blindness. And that was the way Democrats treated the Latino vote. For years, they have made this kind of assumption that Latinos were people of color, quote unquote, and therefore they would all vote the same. It's a profound misreading of the nature of the Latino community and the nature of immigration. Folks in Buffalo know this. So many people who are listening to us come from Eastern Europe and Italy and other countries where over the generations they were discriminated against and reviled when they first came here, and eventually today are full and thriving and complete members of the American community. And that's happening with Latinos too. They're basically much more like everybody else, and the Democrats did not understand that.
Does there almost have to be a tone shift here as much as everything else, you know, kind of to what we're talking about? David Brooks wrote over the weekend that there's a crisis of respect. And, you know, I'll never forget, COVID wasn't a major factor here. You look at the exit polls, but I'll never forget Steve asking a local Democrat sometime in 2021 if she could trust her constituents to make the right decisions for themselves and for the people around them. And her answer was no. I mean, flat out, when asked that, and that stuck with me so much. Does that tone reverberate around the party? Is that what voters are feeling?
Sure. You know, and this goes with a much larger view that somehow a government is the best source of happiness and the best source of rules. And it's a much larger idea. And I agree with you on all of that. But let me step back briefly to point out something else. And there were seven swing states. Trump won them all. But there were five of those states, there were Senate races. Democrats won four of those five Senate races in Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Arizona. The only one they lost was Pennsylvania. A six swing state, Carolina, North Carolina, didn't have a Senate race, had a governor's race. Democrat won by 800,000 votes, 55%. Now, the Republicans had a lousy candidate, but the Democrats also won statewide races for attorney general, secretary of state, superintendent of schools, several other races. That tells me that for all of the problems of the Democratic Party, which are real and they need to be reevaluating a lot of things that we've just been talking about. But in many ways, those results tell me, Brian, that the real problem was the top of the ticket. The real problem flowed. The original sin was Joe Biden, a highly unpopular president, and clearly too frail and feeble to run for a second term, stubbornly, selfishly, egotistically deciding to run. All of the problems of the Democrats, or not all of them, but many of them, flowed from that moment. In many ways, Harris was handed a totally impossible task in trying to shoulder that burden of an impossible, of an unpopular administration. And if you look at the Senate races, if Harris had won the same states, in the swing states, where Democrats won Senate races and governor's races, should be president. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the real problem is the top of the ticket and not necessarily the basic message or the basic constituency of the Democratic Party.
Well, so much still to get to. Steve, thanks for joining us this morning. Always appreciate it. Steve Roberts, political analyst, joining us live here on WBEM.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.